First Corinthians 12. All right. First Corinthians 12 and 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We have been looking at believers' meetings. And we've done some background work already. In the first service, I again reinforced and reemphasized what I said earlier on, that the background of 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 11, the sharing of food. When it comes to food, we found out that you can have different food. You have food, the person doesn't have food. And Paul says, you wait for one another, share one another. And because he was already teaching about love and discerning the Lord's body, he goes into chapter 12 by saying now, or therefore, concerning spiritual gifts. Now, because he was talking about love and sharing with others or serving others, that means the emphasis of 1 Corinthians 12 is ministering to others. That is, I would say in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. He said profit means for the benefit of others. Son Pharaoh, for the benefit of others. So, in other words, the indwelling of the Spirit, all right, also serves the purpose of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, if you say, what's the end point of the work of the Spirit, just like the song we sang, we edify. It's to be a blessing to others. In John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. But also, I will not told you, sorry. I go to prepare a place for you. I come again, receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Now, in that emphasis, if you read further in 12, he says, he that believes on me, the works I do shall he do also. And greater than this, because I go to my Father. The term go to my Father doesn't mean I escape away from you. I go to my Father is actually the indwelling of the Spirit. The going is the resurrection of Jesus, the indwelling of the Spirit. See, he that believes in me, the works I do shall he do also. And greater, because I go to my Father. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice, whatever you ask, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then in 16, he gives you the details. He says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, verse 17, because he seeth him not. You know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. Now, that's a background for the what we call the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, he says, whatever you do, that will I do. I will do it. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit is Christ working in us. What we call the gifts of the Spirit is Christ working in us. He says, that will I do. I've seen people say, no, the doing there is referring to salvation. Some people also say, no, the greater work he's talking about there is salvation. So I said, let's read it together. He that believes on me, the very salvation that I do, shall he do also. And greater than this salvation. It doesn't make any kind of sense. His work. That means Christ is at work in us. Christ is at work in me. You don't seem convinced. Christ is at work in me. And what does he mean? He says, by his Spirit. So the Spirit at work in us is Christ at work in us. That's the word. And so, we said in the first service and earlier on I said to you that in 1 Corinthians 12, we find to 14 a correctional set of paragraphs. It's not informational, firstly. That is, it's telling them how to go about the gifts of the Spirit and effectively. How to go about it effectively. Now, again, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, or verse 2, it says, you were Gentiles, led about with these dumb idols, even as you were led. carried away, sorry, as you were led. Then verse 3, I give you to understand 1 Corinthians 12, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. Now, I said to us that usually, in the original language, the plural is determined, the way they translate it. The plural is oftentimes determined by the ways the translators interpreted the text. Now, I submit that it ought to have been left as gifts, singular. Not because the gifts plural hurts, but because that singularity will let you know that he's referring to a one-time giving of God. There are diversities of the gift of God, but it is the same Spirit. That is, now we can say the Spirit is the gift with diversities. With diversities. The Spirit is God's gift with diversities. So, when a man mentions gifts, he doesn't look outside the indwelling of the Spirit. Diversities, diaresis. Diaresis simply means parts of a whole. Parts of a whole. Diaresis. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord, Christ the minister. There are diversities of operations. Let's leave it at singular. The same God worketh all in all. So, the first thing I said in the morning was, look at the singularity of it. But, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. You have to know what it is. The manifestation. Now, Paul is writing to a church, according to 1 Corinthians 1:7, he says, they came behind in no gift. He writes to a church, and then he calls them carnal. If he calls them carnal, and he has said he had fed them with milk, and with such information that even till now, some folks are still trying to grapple with it. Imagine somebody was arguing with me the other day. Well, not just one day, actually, many days. But this particular one, I remember. And said, even Paul says, do all speak with tongues. So he said, I said, okay, very fine. I agree. Let's start from your premise. Say, Paul says, do all speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 30. Do all interpret. I said, okay, let's take it by one by one. He says, do all... Are all apostles? He said no. Are all prophets? He said no. Are all teachers? He said no. Do all work miracles? He said no. Do all have gifts of the Spirit? He said no. Do all speak with tongues? He said no. Do all interpret? I said, okay, which one is your own there? Let's assume tongues is the one that is not your own. Okay, which one is your own? You couldn't find anyone. Let's assume that that's what Paul is saying. So, are you apostle? He said no. Are you prophet? No. Are you teacher? No. Do you work miracles? Do you heal the sick? Forget interpretation since there's no tongue. So, that means you are not part of the body of Christ. The one that you should even choose there is tongues. That's the one that appears as it were. Less burdensome. Just pick the tongues and go home. You're arguing rubbish. Do all interpret. You know, so there was somebody was asking me one day, he said, most of the time when I say things like that, they answer questions when they go out on evangelism. I said, do you know how many things I've seen? Do you know what I've seen? The kind of questions that have been asked, sometimes you just don't marvel. You start to cry. Why would a human being reason like this? Somebody said, yes. In John 10, he says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He said, yeah, it's true. What if I want to get out myself? I said, how do you use your imagination? God held you. You know, it shows that your imagination is evil. You know, I said, you are in Christ. So what happens? You will throw yourself up. Christ will not throw up. And the believer comes up. You know? So really, the truth is that this information is basic. To know about the things of the Spirit is basic information. When you get people born again, ensure you teach them this basic. They are basic. It's not one level of knowledge. One insight. Ah, Oh, the depth of the riches of the glory of God. No. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, those folks who spoke with tongues had visions and revelations. Those folks, for example, you know, there was someone who was arguing to, he said, the Bible says, young men are the ones that will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Okay. Let's assume it is true. Dream of what? I said, do you have to be born again before you dream? He said, no. Okay. So, if he's talking about normal dreams, right? Like normal dreams. Like you just dreaming, for example, dreaming that you are the next president of Nigeria. That's a tall dream. It's not impossible. But all things are possible to him that dream it. Or you dream that... Let me leave Chelsea alone this afternoon. Somebody told me. He said that it was through... He didn't know anything about soccer. An American. He said it was through your teaching that I got to know a club called Chelsea. I said it's true. They should be unknown. You know, and he said your old men shall dream dreams. It can't be normal dreams now. You have been dreaming before I got saved. I believe you too. I mean, you never used to have dreams. So that can't be what he's saying. Do you get it? The old men there is another Greek word for elders. Elders, for example, elders of Israel, said they will dream dreams. And the word dream is also the same word for divinely granted appearances. That is visions and revelation. So, it is the work of the Spirit to see visions. See, it's the work of the Spirit to see visions. It's the work of the Spirit in me to see visions. You know, seeing a vision is not like, those elders, they see visions. No. Look at, and the way Luke puts his narrative, there was now a guy called Ananias. And he said, a certain disciple, a follower of Jesus, a member of the church. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't known as one. He wasn't known as an apostle. In fact, after that day, we didn't hear about him again. And he saw Jesus. And the kind of vision he saw is not the kind of one you wake up and say, what is going on? Pastor, I saw this. Is he Jesus? Is he angel? Is he Father? Is he Spirit? Or is he demon? You know, some people, even at this stage, they will be saying, they are not sure whether it was God who spoke to them, whether it was the devil. Whether I say, is he God? Is he the devil? Or is he me? I said, you are the only one that can tell me. You are the only one that can tell me. Say, no, I don't. I'm not just sure. One said, go to the right. Then one said, go to the left. Then, now, if you think that God talks in the midst of that nonsense, then I should give you a golden hug. That God and the devil are talking. You have watched enough. And then, when Satan will stand like this, and God will stand, and the angel will say, go, go. Then I say, don't go, don't go, don't go. Then in the middle, you will say, what do I do now? So three voices. No. Do you understand? When neither of anything you are hearing is God. The one that says you go to the right. Interestingly, on Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You want to hear it? Yes, you should. So, say, is he God? God say, do it. Satan say, don't do it. Me, God, done it. No, none of these things is God. One of the things about God's leading is he's always clear. It's always clear. A characteristic of God's leading is that it is always clear. You will not have a single doubt. God talks by faith. He persuades. So you will know it's God. You will know it's God. Now, are there instances where it's God, yet I'll have doubts? We'll get to that. You know, I'll take that on a different subject. So, again, you know, there are folks like that. They've been wrongly taught. They've been wrongly taught. And they begin to argue. Oftentimes, what people argue about is because they are afraid of their unbelief. They are afraid of their ignorance. Very, very afraid. Extremely afraid of their ignorance. You know, I said it in the morning about a brother who was playing keyboard for us in the middle 90s, or say early 90s now. And he saw someone who obviously demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit. And then he felt that changed his impression about how God uses people. For example, if you got born again when I did, it is unlikely for you to believe that a woman in trousers is a woman of God. It's unlikely. Very few people will wear trousers and say they are Christians as women. And they will have to fight our eyes. Looking at them. On the rapture day, when the trumpet sounds, many, many people will be disappointed. Some will be saying, some will be crying. Oh, what I know, that I know, that I know. Keep on wearing your trousers. Keep on palming your hair. Sister, Jesus is coming back again. Is that asking you to change? Keep on wearing. So that kind of impression, you've heard it about how God uses people. That he looks at their wardrobe. Now, in that day, they all now got filled the Holy Ghost by leading jeans and fine girl. That's another issue. Because if you are too fine, it's called Asmodeus. If you are black, so there is Incubus and Succubus, there's Asmodeus, Bacchus, there's Bacchus, Asmodeus, Incubus and Succubus, there is Serpentine. Serpentine is there's another one, when your hair is long. It's deliverance. Anyway, there's no issue. You have to go for it. So those kind of things be clear people's reading. Now, somebody who, when he hears spirit, is demons. When I say things of the spirit, or when he hears spirit, he thinks he's ghost. He doesn't even know that man itself is spiritual. She's ghost. Spirit. And we say, God is here. Spirit of God is here. That's worse. Say, the presence of God is here. That's all the three together. You understand? So, sometimes it's what is the kind of perception people have. And so I said in the morning that a very vital part of being a functional believer in the body of Christ is knowing who you are. Now, much of this, I'm going to say something now that will bless you. Everything should bless you. Sometimes when believers talk about, you find some ministers, they write about their stories. I used to read a whole lot of biographies, even autobiographies. There was even a year, myself and a friend and someone else, we decided to do a study on a lot of preachers. You know, I didn't like the God's general perspective. I don't think that you should write about things that are negative about people. You know, and from the day first day I read God Generals, second time I told my friends, I said, this is a very bad book, it's a negative book. They said that. I said, it's negative. That the gospel is positive. It's positive. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you don't scare me with somebody's story who died when he was 51. You know, there are those who did not get born again, they died when they were 90. So don't scare me with that kind of story. Let me just know what the person did. Yeah, it's very vital. So we now decided to do a story on preachers. I discovered something. That much of the boldness they all had, I mean all of them, who you can't readily call them folks who were exposed to the reality of the new creation or redemption truth. They will talk about the fact that the Holy Ghost was on them. They will have confidence in their prayer life. They will talk about the fact that they had God's presence, that they could go into God's presence. I discovered that what gave them that confidence unknowingly to them was their inheritance in Christ. Only it was the way they perceived it. So sometimes when you read someone's story and then you hear, when the person moves in the power of the Spirit and so on and so forth, and you feel, it must have, usually what you put on it is something very special with God or something very special from God. Not really. It still boils down to being conscious of that identification you have in Christ. You know that all the 12 apostles and all the believers, they all received of the Holy Ghost the same day. Peter cannot say, Peter can't tell any story now and say, the day I came in contact with the power of God, that day I was under my bed. That's how God said this to me. I said, who is talking in the room? He said, I am the one. You know, he can't say it. He said, they were all in one place, in one accord. Everybody. You know, it's good to drive accord. In one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. It sat upon each of them. Which means that it's instructive from the very first story about the move of the Spirit among the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, that everybody started the same way. So you should have that good understanding. I said in the first service, experience can only be good when it is a good experience. Some people have been born again for years, but 2/3 of their experiences are useless. They should not even use it. For example, this is not to talk down on you if you have this kind of Genesis through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, where you were moving around prophets and you are used for people telling you, sister, brother, there's trouble. Then they tell you to go on 7 days fast. In fact, usually when I meet people like that and they come and meet me, I've stopped now. I'm not sure whether I can do it again. I can still do it again. If I know that you had exposure to the word and you didn't do the word, then somehow somebody now does something to you, maybe one false prophet, you now come to me, I'll tell you, what the person has done is not good. You have to fast and study the word well. You study. I'll give you like 12 hours. There's no, you didn't have to fast though, but I want you to go through it so that next time you won't be a tourist to and fro. Some people, their experiences is useless. It's a useless Christian experience. Some things are useless. Nobody needs it. Because it was an experience built on ignorance. And it will have results. But it's a useless experience. Hallelujah. That's the truth. So there are some experiences. For example, a fellow who waited to be filled with the Holy Ghost for 40 years. Do you know, if he starts talking about the Holy Ghost, go and watch a Chelsea game. It will honor God more. If he starts talking about the Holy Ghost, just do something else. Just go and play. Because for you to wait, even those who tarried in the book of Acts was by 7 days, 40 years. Someone was telling me, a woman, you know, like Job. She was just saying like Job. Like Job. I said, okay, wait. Let's even assume you are Job. How many years was Job? You have spoken about over 20 years now. Job is just how long? And we saw it. Even Job should learn from you. Do you understand? So, really, sometimes it's the kind of experiences. Some people believe that they have to qualify. And they believe it for a long time. So they have a sin consciousness to the Holy Ghost. In fact, is that sin consciousness that makes you say, is it God? Is it not God? It's sin consciousness. It's sin consciousness. Even normal human beings that you know every day, if they call you, you know they are the ones talking. Even people that are just friends, colleagues. Even some, there was a guy who called me. I've not seen him in years. In fact, when we did our anniversary in my alumni, he didn't come. He now called me. He said, Onoyinka. I said, Ajeki. Ah! He said, Boboy, you remember my name? I said, I know your voice now. Ah, you know I've gotten you into trouble many times and vice versa. So there's no way that voice can change. This is a voice I've not seen in many years. Now, how can you now say you don't know God's voice? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Eh? You know your brother's voice. You know your sister's voice. You even know your enemy's voice. You know your neighbor's voice. You know your colleagues at work. You don't know God's voice. And you are saying it. It's not possible. You know God's voice. It's just sin consciousness that is doing you. Doing you. No, doing you is in Nigerian English. Don't use it abroad though. It's sin consciousness that is doing you. You know God's voice. Hallelujah. You know God's voice. You are born of the Spirit. You are spiritual. Amen. You are spiritual. You are born of the Spirit. So we said in the first service that therefore, the identification you have in Christ is the utmost information that you require to function in the things of the Spirit. The fact that you are born again. And we said being born again is being in the Spirit. Remember that. Romans 8 and verse 8. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Verse 9. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Look at that. It says, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of these. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin. The Spirit is life to righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your own mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 13, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you die. But if you through the Spirit, verse 13, modify the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the Spirit of body again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, hereby we cry about Father. 16, he says, the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. So, being a son of God is being in the Spirit. Say, I am in the Spirit. Say, being in the Spirit is not an experience. It's a nature. I am in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. You didn't say it like you meant it. I am in the Spirit. You know, right now you are in the Spirit. Which means that you don't need to go 5 meters away from where you are to hear things in the Spirit. You know, it will be odd. Now, if I say we are all in this room now, then let's assume, okay, if I say go and call me, let me look for someone that, go and call me Brother Ejiro, and he's here, and you are seated beside him. The only reason why you will go outside is because you don't know him. Right? He's here, you now go outside. Brother Ejiro! Brother Ejiro! You now say, maybe he's not here. Then you go and take public transport. Then you go to Ibadan. You know you are blessed. Do you understand? The only reason why you would think that the Holy Ghost will walk outside of you is because you don't know what is going on. You don't know who the Holy Ghost is. You don't know what he does. That is the only reason you think you need to go a few meters away from where you are. You are where he is where you are. You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. And Paul makes it easy for you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, speaking in tongues is speaking in the Spirit. Now, talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues a bit more. Amen. Now, he says, what you have done now is in the Spirit. So, in the Spirit is not a distance, or like people call it, the realm of the Spirit. It's a realm of the... Where is that? You will never find the word realm of the Spirit in the Bible. It's a creation of men. Hallelujah. You are in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in you. If there is a realm at all, you are the realm. Because you are the house of the Spirit. If there is a realm, if there is something called the realm, where the Holy Ghost walks, it is where you are. It is where you are. So, as you are seated there, you are a bag full of visions and revelations. You are seated with you are revelations and visions. Seated right where you are, whether you knew it or not. I told you personally, and this is not too good. It's not bad, it's not evil. I had functioned in much of the gifts of the Spirit before I knew what they were. I wasn't told. That means just by desire, I did. In fact, the first time I gave a word of knowledge, Somebody said, that's word of knowledge. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was talking about. Just like I said in the morning, some people spoke in tongues before you laid hands on them. They just didn't know it was tongues. Sometimes in deep prayers, they would just speak with tongues. They wouldn't know because they were misinformed. They were misinformed. I remember Sister Catherine, 1995 or thereabout. She went to a place. This is very funny. And they said she had demons. Now, when I met her the year before, 2 years before, they had said that she had a demon. And, you know, she was actually going after the demon. So, of course, she was taught the word of God and she didn't see it again. She didn't see that way again. So, they now want to do a deliverance, you know, ceremony or whatever for her. They say, now, we call on... Now, when they said, she was having a conversation with them, she now said, you know, if you are born again, you are delivered. That since you are delivered, no demon can live in you. They say, is that demon that is manifesting? That demon is getting bold. It's getting bold. So they now started to pray and go around that. She was not laughing. They said, manifest! Manifest! I'm not joking, though. Manifest! You know? Some fellow came to one of our meetings. We called it the Glory of God Seminar, 1996. And he was invited. And he's a core deliverance personnel. His CV is full of demons. So when he came, and people were laughing and laughing and rejoicing in the spirit. He now began to say, in Jesus' name, every spirit, I come against every spirit. It was so interesting. And he thought he was doing the right thing. In fact, a church that we used to use the same venue, after we finished the Holy Ghost meeting, they now were pouring anointing oil, or oil they call anointing oil, on the floor. Every demon that they have put down here. It's very interesting. You say, we cast them out. That is how far ignorance can take you. Ignorance can take you very far. Extremely far. And you will have rich experiences. Very rich. Very rich. You are the one that will know how a demon slaps someone. Talk about the power of God. You don't know. Power of demons. You have books. Books on it. Books on it. When a woman released Rebecca Brown, Prepare for War, I never read it. I told them in All Believers Congregation in Solo, 1994 or so, or 5, I said to them, this book is rubbish. Somebody told me, do you know, you are too proud. I said, it's nonsense. I said, it's absolute crap. Bull nonsense. Now, of course, they will think you are proud. That one being called proud is now my inheritance in Christ. It's not even. I bear in my body the marks of that. So, do you know that years later the woman apologized? She apologized for the book. Just like another evangelist, Margaret. You know her? Margaret. You know, that said something about earrings. Those who are going to hell. She has also apologized. But after the apology, return the money. Apology is not sufficient. People have bought books on top of this. You know, return the money. Then your repentance is full. This repentance of tears without money. Restitution. Restitution. Return the money. Hallelujah. Some people just have the wrong experiences. But you know, you have the good experiences. You have rich experiences by the Holy Ghost. It's time to start to see things by the Holy Ghost. To see things by the Holy Ghost. To see things by the Holy Ghost. To know things by the Holy Ghost more. And much more. Amen. It is who you are in Christ. It's who you are in Christ. If you are born again, you are in the Spirit. If you are born again, you are in the Spirit. If you are born again, you are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. In the Spirit and in Christ, they mean one and the same. If you are born again, you are in the Spirit. A keyboard can't take you in the Spirit. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Laying on of hands can't take you in the Spirit. Singing that magnetic song, that one that moves you, can't take you in the Spirit. It's salvation that puts you in the Spirit. And you are there forever. You are there forever. You are always in the spirit. See, I'm always in the spirit. Now, there is now a practice of it. A practice of it. You can't have a practice of it without the information. I found out that some people who have fringes of experiences. Maybe, and this is why it's not good to build people's knowledge on experiences. They will come for services and then they will yield to the Holy Ghost for the service. They will now think it is the service. No, it is not the service, it is you. It's not the service. Ah, you hear things like, the presence of God was so strong. Where was it weak? Was so strong. So strong. So strong. Who measured the strength? What happened was that you folks yielded more. You yielded more. You yielded more. That was it. So if you put too much on the meeting is vital. We're going to come to that. It is actually the believer that functions in those meetings. Amen. Amen. It's the believer that functions in those things. It's the believer that functions in those things. Glory to God. So a believer's meeting is when we come together as believers and we act like believers in the Holy Ghost. We act like believers. We remember in those meetings that there is therefore now no condemnation to us because we are in Christ Jesus. We remember that God has given to us the spirit of love, power, and sound mind. Those are important things in those meetings. We remember that he, so are we in this world. All those things should come to your mind effectively. Effectively. I've been in the ministry a few weeks. There's something I always do. Whether I'm called to preach or I'm always doing this. Before I go up, I say it's a great meeting. The Holy Ghost will have free course. God's word will be taught well. I say it so often. Even after I prayed. After I prayed. Because I'm not an able minister because I studied well. Because I pray well. I'm an able minister because I'm born of the Spirit. When I pray, I'm only being effective in who I am. It is you that makes your prayer effective. The power that makes your prayer effective is resident in you. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think, according to the power. Paul had prayed the prayer, Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the family over and ever is named, that he will grant you, that you be strengthened according to the riches of his glory by his spirit in the inner man. He says, Christ dwell in your heart by faith, that you may comprehend what is the length, the breadth, and the height of the saints. That you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That you be filled with the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. So what makes your prayer effective is the power at work in you. Hallelujah. See, when I pray, I make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That power is at work in me. At a new birth, all the power that makes my prayer effective is resident in me. From the new birth, all the power I will ever need to pray effectively was given to me. At the new birth, all the power that makes ministry effective was given in me. Amen. So the new birth is God's masterpiece. The new birth is God's best. The new birth, you know, a man reproducing himself, that's his best. God giving us his spirit, hereby we are called his son, that is his best. James 1:16. Don't hear, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, of course, James 1:17. Some people say that every good gift, my phone, my house. Did your whole phone come from above? How did your phone come from above? How did it get to you? He's talking about the new birth. The same word, born again from above, is what we use there. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creature. We should be a kind of the first fruit of his own creature. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. 21. Therefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Engrafted there in James 1:21 actually is the word that gave birth to you. The implanted word, which was able to save the soul. It says, be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word hearers only is the word used for fans. You go and watch a game. You are not part of it. You are only clapping for those who are walking. He says, no. Be ye doers and not hearers. God did not make any of his children clap for other believers to walk in the power of God. Ba, 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 ba. Me, lo, ba, ba. In church. In church, I was in a meeting, and as I was giving the word of knowledge, just last, maybe 2 weeks ago, it was actually a Bible class, and I was giving the word of knowledge, and someone went, Papa, I said, no, don't do that. That's the world. The world claps. Saints lift their hands. If God is in demonstration, we don't clap. Nobody's performing. It's the Holy Ghost in demonstration. If the choir sings and they bless us, we don't say, No. We lift our hands with them. We glorify God. Hallelujah. If they say rejoice, you rejoice. You act on the word. So we are not supposed to be hearers only. We are to be doers. If any be a hearer of the word, is likened unto a man that beholds his natural face in the mirror. The word natural face there is the word Genesis. Your genealogy. My genealogy is found in God. It's found in Christ. There is the God ability. There is the God ability. I have the God ability. I have the God ability. The Spirit of God in me is the God ability. I have the God ability. Hallelujah. So begin to function effortlessly in the Spirit. Effortlessly. There's no struggle in the things of the Spirit. You know, sometimes, I told you something in the first service. You think you have a word of knowledge in imagination. Maybe I'm imagining something. And maybe I'm just came. No. Stop thinking like that. Don't allow your sin consciousness overwhelm the son consciousness. You didn't imagine something. You are born of the Spirit. You may have misunderstood who it was for, but you didn't imagine it. The Holy Ghost is working in you. You know precisely what God is saying, and you know how God is working. It's not your imaginations. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't let fear rob you. Don't let it rob you. You see, just like everything in life and everything in the Spirit, you may have to learn things gradually. Make a few mistakes or keep moving. Hallelujah. It's not an imagination. It's not an imagination. Stay there. Look at Jesus, for example. You know, he said to the woman at the well, go and call your husband. If woman didn't have any husband, go and call your husband. You know, naturally looks like, Jesus missed it, man. She doesn't have husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you have rightly said so. Sometimes those things work at times in interrogation. I've seen it often. I'll say something. From the person's response, I'll now know what to say. So don't look down on the work of the Holy Ghost in your heart. No, don't. Don't. In fact, there are sometimes the person I'm speaking about will come later. Sometimes somebody will say, well, I just didn't want to come. I didn't know it was me. I've laid hands on someone before and got him healed of what he did not know he had. He didn't know he had it. So be bold about the things of the Spirit. Did you hear me? One of the things I know that robs people of the things of the Spirit is when they are too dependent on the natural. They are just too given to natural things. That is why entertainment in church services will rob believers of their inheritance in the things of the Spirit. See, I said it 1 million times over. Entertainment. There's just something around entertainment that takes away the flavor of the things of the Spirit. Now, you can have the man of God demonstrate God's power in such atmospheres, but oftentimes the believers there, they look almost paralyzed. You have to choose which one you want. Entertainment or the things of the spirit. Choose one. You have to choose which one that you want. You know, I prefer the things of the spirit. I prefer the flow of the Holy Ghost. That's what I prefer. That's what I want. Amen. I tell some pastors, trying to entertain Christians is wasted effort. Unbelievers do it better than you. In fact, you are even learning it from them. Eh? Do you know that what Nigeria needs now, or what Lagos needs now, or what the world needs now, is not good music? No. It's not picnics. If you want to have picnic every day, you can join some associations. You will get it. You know, what the world needs now isn't some good comedy and drama. Do you understand what I'm saying? No. What the world needs is not some, you know, some time out. No, that is available. What the world needs is revelation knowledge. The move of the Holy Ghost. So there's no point adding to what is already perfect. In that sense. There's no point. You tune to DSTV, you watch drama, morning till night. You tune to DSTV, you hear good music, and they are shouting and jumping all over the place, music channel. Then you come to church, another channel. You are just seeing the same thing. It's just the location that is different. But this is the house of God. It's the house of the Holy Ghost. Things of and that pertain to the Spirit. That's what this house is for. That's what this house is for. When you come together. Hallelujah. So in believers' meetings, we give room for believers to function effectively in the things of the Spirit. And tongues is the doorway. Well, some say, tongues is the doorway by practice. How come in the book of Acts, when Jesus said they will receive the Holy Ghost, John 20:22, he told them to receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you tell the city of Jerusalem to be a new power for my eye. Power, you know, promise of the Father, receive the Holy Ghost. What was the door? Acts 2:4, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 8:15, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. When Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Acts 8:21. You have no part nor lot to 22 in this matter. 2021. In this matter. That is in the utterance. Acts 10:44. As Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. For the circumcision that came with Peter were astonished. And upon the Gentiles was also poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. 46. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnifying God. Acts 19:6. As Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. It was obvious that tongues was like their doorway to the things of the Spirit. Do you know that awe you had when you first spoke with tongues? That, you know, like hunger and thirst you had. Never let it die. Don't let it die. Tongues is the doorway. Tongues is the doorway. By practice, by precept and by example, Acts 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands how it speaks mysteries to God. Do you know that of all the gifts that Paul listed in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 8 to 10, it was only tongues he started with. It was only tongues he gave clear explanations. 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, when he said, when you come together, and each one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation, let all things be done to define. The first thing he said he will do if any speaks in tongues. Tongues is a first line. Tongues is a first line. If there is a how to start, it's in tongues. If there is a how, it's tongues. Then that tongues will lead to interpretation. Interpretation will now have details and facts in believers' meetings. Who speaks in tongues? It is the believer who speaks in tongues. Let me ask that question again. Who speaks in tongues? Who speaks with tongues? Now, who is the believer here? So, who speaks with tongues? Who speaks with tongues? So, if you are the one that speaks with tongues, who speaks interpretation? Who speaks interpretation? Who speaks the revelation? Who speaks the psalms? I do. Hallelujah.
Because you are the believer. Because you are the believer. Because you are the believer. Do you know why? Because there's therefore now no condemnation to you. There's nothing that stands against you flowing with the Holy Ghost all day and every time. Nothing. Nothing. If it's for those that believe, that means believing is all that it takes. Nothing. Nothing. And if nothing stands against the believer speaking in tongues, nothing stands against the believer yielding to all the things of the Spirit. Let no strange movie you watched, let no funny information you got somewhere, let not someone's bad experiences affect you. You are a man of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost works in you. The Holy Ghost works in you. You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Amen. Amen. That's who you are. So a believers meeting, we all come and function as believers. We all come and function as believers. That's what we do. Now, Brother Hagin used to make a distinction, and that's one of the essence of this series, between the believers meeting and the Holy Ghost meeting. Now, I will teach it in that way, then reorder it later. Now, he often says that in the Holy Ghost meeting, now Brother Hagin is the one who taught me things of the Spirit. I didn't learn it on TBN or anywhere. You call it from Tulsa, you're right. Now, he says that there is the Holy Ghost meeting. He said the Holy Ghost meetings, there is the ministry gifts that are prominent. The ministry gifts are prominent. Now, I'll expatiate on that shortly as we proceed. Look at Acts 13. Look at Acts 13. Now, you know, Acts 2, 1 to 4 is a believer's meeting or a Holy Ghost meeting. Acts 2, 1 to 4. And what happens in 14? Peter standing up with the 11. Who are the 11 apostles? So, we can see that there's an emboldening of ministry gifts. Now, Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. In fact, let me show you one more. When Peter and John came to Samaria and they laid hands and the Holy Ghost was given, Acts 8, 14 down to 20, then 21. Notice something happens. Philip, who went out to Samaria, now by the angel of the Lord, goes, verse 26, you know, goes to the south to meet the Enoch. Not just that. In 29, the Spirit said unto him. Not just that. In 39, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away. Something about the Holy Ghost or believers' meetings is that it emboldens more ministry. When the things of the Spirit are in demonstration, it emboldens more ministry. It has people do more ministry. Let me show you another place. Acts 19. Notice that those guys that Paul laid hands on, the 12 of them, in verse 6, were the same 12 that became elders in Ephesus. Believers' meetings embolden ministry gifts. Believers' meetings embolden ministry gifts. You see, the danger of having believers' meetings only around natural needs. Natural needs will be met, don't forget. Yes, they will. I share that in the morning. But you see, there's a whole lot more. It emboldens ministry gifts. It's like God's call upon people's lives become more prominent. First Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gifts which is in thee, by prophecy and laying on of the hands of the elders. Now, whatever meeting that was, it was a believer's meeting. It was not a teaching meeting. There was prophecy and hands were laid. What people call ordination services most of the time is of this nature. Now, look at Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherefore I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Can we take verse 4 together? So they've been sent by the Holy Ghost. Notice what is going on there. Who sent them away? The people there. What was he called? The Holy Ghost. So when he said the Holy Ghost said, it was somebody speaking. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work we're to have. So it's like the believers meeting now spiraled into a Holy Ghost meeting. So it was now prominence, as it were, of ministry giftings. Ministry giftings. I mean, myself and my friends, then when we were younger, we did Holy Ghost meetings every day for 2 months. Except when I wasn't around and I had to travel to preach. Every time, every day. Much of my boldness and access to the things of God came from those meetings. Much of it. It emboldens you. It just makes you bolder every day. And we saw amongst ourselves demonstrations that I'm seeing today as well, amongst other people. It emboldens you. It's believers' meetings oftentimes will lead to what Brother Higgy will call the Holy Ghost meetings. Where in those meetings, it's like people now begin to function in peculiar ways. In unique ways. In unique ways. In very unique ways. Now, I told you of a sister that used to lay hands on people and get them filled with the Holy Ghost almost like a drop of her heart. The part I didn't tell you was, I got her saved. When I got her born again, strangely, you know, we had these meetings, we call them the dynamics meetings, and we have diverse demonstrations. Sometimes we have very physical displays. Some of them I don't say them often because I don't see it that way often. So it's not good to make them doctrine. But I mean physical demonstrations. There was a healing meeting we were holding one day, and I laid hands on the sick. As I wanted to lay hands on them, oil was on all their heads, each of them. Nobody poured it on it. Oil was oil, physical oil was dripping. Not spiritual oil. On each person. You know. So this particular meetings we had, it was August 95. Well, 24 years ago. We all sensed dew in the meeting. I can mention the people that were there. We all sensed dew on us. So she was there. Other people were there. And then that was the first time. Now, the day before, she was attending one funny church like that. She wasn't born again. So she was speaking some teleguided tongues. So you must have heard me say this story before. That I said, go and clean your mouth. When you come, have you heard that story before? That's the person. Say, go and clean your mouth. And come back with empty mouth so that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. She now came back. When she came back, as I laid hands on her, I said, well, there's a special thing around you about the things of the Spirit. And you getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was the day she talks in tongues. Pay attention. The other people that came out, and I asked her to lay hands. She got all of them filled with the Holy Ghost. That was where it started. So, some of those meetings can now lead to peculiarity. I've seen a meeting like that somebody was sick. As we laid hands, the Lord just said, you are not just going to get healed. You have a ministry to the sick. And especially healing ministry. So I just simply told the person, go and lay hands on the sick. I mean, somebody that had never done it before. And the person got everybody healed. So, believers' meetings can now make people start functioning peculiar. That is why we have to have them more often. More often. They make you bolder. Like you are able to stake your place in the body of Christ. You are able to take your place in the body of Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. Then we close from there. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. Say, in these meetings, I take my place. in the body of Christ. I function in my office and in my role in the body of Christ. I have also franegas, kibo franes, igagago, kinyanglanosa, babro, gadi, megagaduze, latose, brana, tise, papi, nea, dodura, nega, ibrig, and the nongas, pigadosis. Yes, you have found it. That money couldn't fulfill you. You have found it that even marriage and having children wasn't the fulfillment. Yes, you have seen it. That meeting your needs as a child didn't fulfill your utmost desires. There's a deep-seated hole, an aloe that has not been filled. It's because you are yet to fulfill your place in the body of Christ. In this day and time, it's time to put yourself in that position where you will feel your place in the body of Christ. For in the coming days, just like I said to you 20 years ago, 21 years ago, 22 years ago, in the coming days, there will be a multiplication of giftings of ministry in the coming days. There will be more people, and much of them will be in the congregation. They will be in the congregation, and they will fill their places in the body of Christ. The office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastoring teacher. Those offices will be occupied. They will be occupied by believers. There will be no believers looking around and seeing what is going on. Each believer will occupy those places, and they will, in the church and through the church, do the will of the Father. That fulfillment will not come, not by your career. It won't come, not by earthly pursuits. Rather, it will come by you yielding to the Spirit and fulfilling your role and call in the body of Christ. Then your career will make sense. Then your business will make sense. Then your family will make sense. Then your roles every other place will make sense. You will see yourself as a ministry gift. Even in that office, even in that profession, even in that college, even wherever you are. Yea, at this time, set your eyes on the gifts of God. Set your affection on the offices that are found in the body of Christ. And you will live a life of that fulfillment. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 14. You know when Paul says, when you come together and every one of you has. And then he says, in 27, he talks about interpreting. 28, if there's no interpreter, let them keep silent. Then 29, he changes. He says, let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If any be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. If you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. He used the word prophet three times. In verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or given to the things of the Spirit, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So he says that these meetings will make obvious ministry gift. Let the prophets, he says. Let the prophets. Use that as a figure of speech. Let the ministry gifts, the offices in the body of Christ. You find your office, and you will feel it, and you fulfill it, and you walk in it with boldness, with no condemnation, with your heart full of a desire to be a blessing in the body of Christ. Don't think it takes to be that evangelist for you to cause a stir, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. No. It's for you to take your place now. Take your place now in the body of Christ and do the will of the Savior now. Not tomorrow. Now. You know, now we're going to yield to the Holy Ghost. And diversities will be seen. Diversities will be heard. It will be seen and heard. Seen and heard. Hallelujah. In these meetings, as the days go, before we end this series, I'm going to have cause to lay hands for this purpose. I was led by God to lay hands on for this purpose. You know, I have a way I lay hands and a way I don't. But you see, when I lay hands, Jesus spoke to me in a vision, 1994. He said, when you lay hands on people, they will either confirm what I've called them to do, or they will know it for the first time. He said that to me 25 years ago. And I've seen that virtually everywhere. Virtually everywhere. Even those that didn't even know God called them to ministry, just by praying for them, they see it. They see it. And I believe that in these meetings, I've just trust the Lord to function like that for this purpose. Because one of the things these meetings will do is to make you effective, to fill your role in the body of Christ. Either though we have thought that the ministry gifts are offices that are way outside the believer and the body of Christ. It's not so. They are in the body of Christ. Believers fill them up and believers walk in them. And you are that believer. You are that believer. You are that believer. In this day, you will walk in your own. You will fill your role in the body of Christ. And you are a blessing. And you are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing to the body of Christ. You are a blessing to the world. You are a blessing to your family. You are a blessing in your office. You are a blessing in your school. You are a blessing in your estate. You are a blessing in Lagos State. You are a blessing in Nigeria. You are a blessing in West Africa. You are a blessing in Africa. You are a blessing. 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 You are a blessing in the body of Christ. You are a blessing in the body of Christ. See, after these days, you will initiate Holy Ghost meetings, believers meetings. I told you in the first service, you initiate believers meetings. It doesn't matter if they don't know anything. I'm teaching you already how to make them know it. Hallelujah. How to make them know it. See, this week, get people filled with the Holy Ghost who are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Particularly those who argue against it. This week, there is something that has rubbed off on you that will make it happen. 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 Initiate it. You know you can initiate it. See, Peter betrayed Jesus. He denied him. See, he denied Jesus. How many days after? He's the one talking about the prophecy of Joel. Don't talk down on yourself. You are God's minister. You are God's minister. You are God's minister. All the 12 that Jesus spoke, that he chose, all of them, they were bad guys. They weren't even faithful guys. But you know what? They are the ones he used. He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three imperfect guys whose lives were not straight. But he's their God anyway. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? Take your place in Christ. Take your place in the body of Christ. You are a blessing to the body of Christ. You are a blessing to the world. You are a blessing to Nigeria. You are a blessing to your family. See, your utterances save your family. Your utterances give them direction. Your words give them healing. Yes, and wisdom. And wisdom. You may be the fourth born, you may be the fifth born. But you see, in that place, you are a minister of the gospel. The Holy Ghost is walking through you. You may be the father, the mom. You may be the sister, the uncle. Doesn't matter. In the body of Christ, you're a minister. And you can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. See, I yield myself to the Holy Ghost now to be a blessing in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I function and I'm established in my office in the body of Christ. I function and I'm established in my office in the body of Christ. Talk to the person beside you. Change your seat. Like we did in the first service. You are functioning now. You are functioning now. Hallelujah. You are functioning now. I'll give you just 5 minutes actually. Just 5 minutes. You are functioning now. You can stand if you want to. You can sit if you want to. You are functioning now. What's the doorway again? What's the doorway again? What's the doorway again? What's the doorway again? Is it word of knowledge you have or imaginations? Word of wisdom or imagination? Are you bold about it? Are you bold to ask the right questions? Go ahead and walk in the light of it.